Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. On this new morning and in every morning of our lives, gracious God, from generation to generation, we praise your holy name. Like our ancestors before us, we proclaim your greatness to our children, for we have seen your deeds of power and witnessed your goodness in our lives. As you have opened your hand to all, satisfying the desire of every living thing, open our hearts so that we might share the gifts we have received from you. Let us worship God in gratitude and joy. Affirmation of faith. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our first scripture text from the book of Exodus, the third chapter, verses 1 through 15. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I? Should I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" Your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 9 through 21. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our media saturated culture tends to value our bodies according to how they look. Do we have buns of steel? Are we able, without causing an entire room full of people to roll on the floor in hysterics, to refer to our arm muscles as guns? Have we got six-pack abs? It doesn't take but a couple of seconds on a crowded beach to quickly figure out that almost none of us have a body that fits some sort of cookie cutter template for so-called beauty. So when Paul says to us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship, it can come as a revelation to us to think that our bodies could be acceptable to anyone, let alone to God. But this is a revelation and also a reminder that the beauty of our bodies lies in what they were made to do, which is to connect us with others. Think about it. Vision, hearing, touch, taste, smell, these are all relational abilities. And Christianity, and thus life, is about relationship with God and relationship with others. One of the most important things that we Christians need to get our minds around, and one of the things that will have the most immediate and long-lasting impact on the way we live as followers of Jesus, is the call to live as different members of a single body.
If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text
from the 12th
chapter of Romans, verses 9 through 21.
Michael was a quiet man who didn't really have any desire to serve in positions of leadership within the church.
Hold fast to
one day, Michael, only in his 50s, died a sudden death that shocked the congregation. And the weeks that followed Michael's death, the congregation seemed to be a bit ragged around the edges.
Rejoice in hope, be
patient in suffering, persevere
in prayer,
but
contribute to the needs of the saints.
Another reason,
extend hospitality
things
to strangers.
Just weren't getting
bless
done.
Those who persecute
people
you.
Would
bless
arrive at the church and realize
rejoice
that
with those who
there
rejoice.
Wasn't any coffee.
Weep with those
the
who weep.
The ushers would reach
live in
out for the offering plates
another.
And realize
do not be haughty,
that they
but
weren't
associate
there.
With the lowly.
Small thing
do not
after
claim
small
to
thing
be wiser than
cracks.
You are.
Do not
why?
Repay
because
anyone
Michael
evil
had always
for
done
evil, but
them.
Take thought
these
for
tasks
what is noble
didn't appear on any list anywhere.
Because so far as it depends on you,
live quietly with
no
all.
One having
beloved,
to think about
never
them.
Never avenge yourselves.
The minister says,
but
leave
now
room
we have
for
to
the
think
wrath
about
of God.
List them
for
and assign
them.
Vengeance is mine.
Michael
I will
may
repay,
have had no idea how vital
no,
his simple
if your
actions
were
hungry,
to the healthy functioning of the congregation.
If they're thirsty, give
just
them something to
each
drink.
One of us
for
has
by
one body
this,
with many members,
burning
and these members do not all have the same function.
So in Christ, we who are many form one body.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
To all the others.
Thanks be
we,
to God.
You and I are one body. We're not a conglomeration of individuals vying for power and importance. We are one body. If we are separate, we are just fragments, but together we are whole. This is what Paul had in mind when he gave us this image of the church. You are like a body. Every part of you is important. And every body part plays its role in the body's total health. If one body part fails, the entire body suffers. What part are you? Are you performing your task? Some of the things that Paul lists in the 12th chapter of Romans includes serving, teaching, encouraging, helping others, financial giving, showing mercy, and obviously this is not an exhaustive list. It could go on and on and on. Are you doing what God is calling you to do? There really is no such thing as scriptural Christianity outside the realms of the church. That means that Christianity happens within the congregation, working together, living with, and worshiping with other Christians. That doesn't mean that Christianity only happens on Sunday morning, but it does mean that it happens in relationship with Christ and other people. Present your bodies to God, Paul says. And what Paul means by that is to be present your entire lives and to present your entire lives to God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. And on a larger scale, the body of Christ is the ultimate instrument through which the Holy Spirit works. So, Paul says, take your body, take everything you are and everything you do, and take all the tasks that you have to do every day, and take your work at the office or the factory, and take your work at school or at home, and offer all that as an act of worship to God. Real worship is offering every moment of every day to God.
We might say, I'm going to church to worship God, and that's good, and that's right. We should also be able to say, I'm going to the factory, I'm going to the office, the garage, the garden, the grocery store, to school, to worship God. And this requires a radical change in how we do humanity. We must not be conformed to the world, but transformed from it. With Christ in our lives, we are new people, new creations. Our minds are becoming different because the mind of Christ is in us. And the mind of Christ is the mind of a compassionate and humble servant who has come to preach good news to the poor and set the captives free. It is the mind which befriends the homeless, the beggar, the outcast, the marginalized, the lost, the lonely. It's the mind which treats all people equally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul goes on to talk about what's the so-called worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. And he quotes the prophet Isaiah with this wonderful promise. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But he goes on saying, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And he finishes out the chapter by saying, we have the mind of Christ. Yes, fellow members of the body of Christ, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And how can we do that? How can we even dream of being able to do that outside the community of faith, outside of the study of God's Word, outside of relationship with God and the neighbor? Left to our own devices, we humans are dominated by human nature at its lowest. In Christ, we live a life dominated by Christ and the Holy Spirit. Who can get any higher than that? Talk about a radical transformation. Viktor Frankl, a Swiss psychologist in a Nazi death camp during World War II, concluded from his research that those who survived the horrors of the camps were those people who had something for which to live. That is, something beyond themselves that gave them strength each day. Think about it. As members of Christ's body, we really are essential movers in what God is doing. We really do have an exciting adventure as we live to discover our unique place in God's plan, and we're discovering our place by doing. In our scripture lesson, Paul instructs us that love must be sincere. Love must be genuine. The word love in this sense is an action word. We see the results of it only by doing our part in the body of Christ. Is our love sincere? The answer lies in the fruit of what we do, no matter how great or how small. There's a story about a young boy who so desperately wanted a part in his third grade play. He told his mother about this, and she realized that, in all honesty, he wasn't likely to be given the part. So, being a good mother, on the day when the parts were announced, she made sure to be at the school in order to cheer up her son after what she strongly suspected was going to be a sad experience. But to her surprise, the boy came out of the doors of the school with a great big smile on his face, and he was bursting with pride. And before the mother could say a word, the boy announced, I made it. I've been chosen to clap and cheer. And you know, that's truly one of the most important jobs of all. Paul tells us in verse 10 that we are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and that we are to honor one another above ourselves. How many of us really do that? How would the church be different if we all did this? I mean, listen to this list. We are to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We are to share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. We are to bless those who persecute us, bless and do not curse. Paul instructs us, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. I don't have to tell you that one of the hardest and most difficult things in all the earth is to get along with
other people, to love and accept one another, warts, sins, failings, and all, really is the puzzle piece which makes this life complete. It's also the answer to the mystery. We cannot actively love God and harbor anger and hatred in our hearts at the same time. The two just don't work together. You can't have both. And so we have a choice. We have been offered the mind of Christ. And this is the Christ who prayed for the forgiveness of those who were banging the nails through his hands and feet, spitting in his face, hanging him on the cross to die the most horrible of deaths. Some of the times we get the most angry is when we feel we've been wronged, when we have done nothing to deserve it. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. You are part of his body, and so is every believer in the church. And the outside world needs to experience the forgiveness and the love that comes from the body of Christ more than anything else. And the only way to live Christ's love and to be totally transformed by the renewing of your mind is not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. May it be so. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Jesus, our Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Redeemer. There's so many titles we could give to you. We are so grateful, Heavenly Father, that you saw ahead. You saw ahead, and you could have very easily called upon God to take you off of that tree. But you didn't. And the only reason why you didn't is because my name was on your lips. Jesus, you've transformed me. But Father, you aren't finished yet. I've got a lot of transforming left to do, Father, and I pray that you would continue to seek me out, to use me, to cleanse me, to prepare me for what you have to do on this earth. Father, I present myself as a living vessel, and I know that others listening to this broadcast are also listening and waiting for you and praying, Father, that you would come and you would renew them and change them so that others might be able to come to Jesus through them as well. Father, we are sacrificially and whole yours. We belong to you. We pray, dear Father, that you would use us in the furtherance of your kingdom so that others may come to know the love and the joy and the transformation that comes through a forgiving Savior. Use us, dear Jesus. Use us, Father. Use us. Transform us, so that we might be more like you. We pray these things in the way that you taught your disciples to pray, by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
you for listening to today's message. Key Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.